Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me salvage that desire.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Tuesday, September 20th. What do you have? I'm Vince Bonvigli, your host. We have a lot to cover today. A lot of action. Everybody's chase, count them, you name it. It's happening, and it all culminated pretty much this weekend. Anyway, the only one I really didn't have a chase to go, we'll start with them, was the K&N Pro Series East. Our guest Dominique Van Wieringen was competing this weekend at the New Jersey Motorsports Park in Millville. It's not too far from where I used to live and broadcast from. But she did not win the race, but she did have a couple of outstanding moments. She led the most laps. She qualified ninth and finished fifth. Noah Gregson was the winner. Justin Haley, who right now is your points leader, who's your pole sitter. Kyle Benjamin, who usually runs K&N and ARCA as well. I think it was in ARCA last year, moved to K&N. He was third. Colin Cabret was fourth. And of course, Dominique fifth. Sixth, Ruben Garcia Jr. Kyler Dipple. Seventh, Tyler Hughes. Eighth, ninth, Austin Hill. And tenth was Hunter Bays. The rookies in the series that were in the top 15, I think it was all that raced, was Dominique, the sixth-place finisher, Ruben Garcia, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. Nine rookies out of 15 drivers competing in the race. Of course, Dominique said she's looking forward to the road course, and it kind of showed because of the there was the 55 laps run. She led a good chunk of it. She was so she had the bonus for leading the most laps, and she fell a little short. She led laps 30 to 47, and laps 2 through 5, so. But she didn't lead the last 7 laps. If she could have did that, she would have taken home that checkered flag. And she was the rookie of the race. And she's also 10th in the K&N East standing, so. Good for Dominique. Would be our fourth top 10 this season. So, we have one more race coming up. The imposing Monster Mile in a couple of weeks, which kicks off the elimination race for the Sprint Cup Series. So, it was great having Dominique on, 2 top 10s in a row, 6 out of 13 races this year, I think. another top five under her belt. So good for her. This is the inaugural race at New Jersey Motorsports Park. So that was their first time there. Everybody was on even ground. Hopefully one day they can, well, they used to have the NASCAR sports car division there, and not the one that runs it. Actually, was, and they used to run, and ARCA runs there as well, so maybe they can get a truck series race or nationwide race. Depends on how it goes. Anyway, also in action, the NHRA for their first countdown race at the ZMAX Dragway in Charlotte. That's just next door to Charlotte Motor Speedway for the Carolina Nationals. And in the top fuel division, Antron Brown and Doug Kalita faced off for the final. Did not get run. Apparently, they did have some weather come through there. Brittany Force, who was vying for a championship, she won at the ZMAX Dragway in the four wides, faced Antron Brown in round two, losing by 1/1000th of a second. And in reaction time, he was a little better by 1/10 of a second. And Antron also in round one went up against number qualifier Clay Milliken and faced Pat Bacon in round in the semifinals. Doug Kalita, on the other hand, was the number one qualifier, went up against Ike Meyer in round one, then Leah Pritchett, one of the other ladies in the top fuel division. She was the ninth qualifier, beat her by 0.2 of a second. She was a little late on the reaction time. She might have had a chance with a hole shot if her reaction time wasn't almost double as slow. Then Wayne Newby in round three, not even close there, 3.87 with a 9 to a 4.096, setting the stage for the finals, which usually are postponed to the next event. I'm surprised they don't actually hold them the day after. Matter of fact, let me see the scroll board here. Antron Brown did wind up beating Doug Kalita, 3.76 to a 3.81. So Antron on his way to another championship, leads in the top fuel division. In the funny car, it was John Force against Tommy Johnson Jr. Force looking to drive his way to his 17th driving championship, which would be his 18th owner's championship, because he also has one, or it was the 19th. Anyway, he has one with Robert Height as his driver, who is also on his team currently, and I think he has one with back in the day. But anyway, he's working on his 17th driving championship. So he had to go through Tommy Johnson Jr. It's rounds one. Force went up against Dave Richards, then Tim Wilkerson, Ronnie Capps, who has been winning of late. Close race there, 395 to a 395 for Force, 400 with a 3 for Ronnie Capps. Tommy Johnson's pass to the final against Bob Gilbertson, who broke off the line. Matt Hagan, win by 0.02 of a second over Hagan. And defending champ Bill Worsham there, 0.05 of a second. But when it came to John Force, Tommy Johnson Jr. got off the line first with a reaction of 0.32, but wasn't able to overcome it for a whole shot, posting a 3.98 with a 7. The John Force is 3.94 with a 6. Take home the Wally. And I'll give you the championship standings after round one when we get done with the results. Pro stock. Erica Ender Stevens did not make the field. We were looking to get her on, but she did not make the qualifying round, which is kind of sad. I mean, after coming off two straight championships, this year has been really, really tough. She did make it to the countdown with a respectable 8th place finish. Even though it's been a struggle, she did it with a couple weeks, but sad to say, it came down to teammates Greg Anderson and Jason Line. So Greg Anderson was the number one qualifier. Jason Line was the number two qualifier. The other teammate to them is Bo Butner, but Butner had to face his teammate in round two. Jason Line to the final was through Shane Tucker in round one, and then Bo Butner in round two. Round three was Vincent Nobile, who drives for Elite Motorsports, along with Jay Coughlin. And they made the field, but Erica didn't. But Greg Anderson had to go through Ellen Pruszynski, Chris McGahey, and Alex Lachlan, who basically held down that final countdown spot till late in the season. In the finale of the Pro Stock Finals for Countdown Race 1, Jason Line bested his teammate with a 6.62 with a 1. Anderson won 1/100th of a second slower, 6.63 with a 9. The standings right now in the Pro Stock Motorcycles, Chip Ellis beat Andrew Hines by a full 1/10 of a second. Well, 3/100 of a second, actually, for a close finish there. It's in the points standings right there. Points as they sit after round one. Antron Brown has a 42-point lead over Doug Kalita. Steve Torrance in third. He's 100 back. Brittany Force, 116. You get 5 points. 20 points per round win. So, and I think you get 10 for a loss in that position. So Ronnie Capps only made it to the semifinals, and he still holds the top spot over Del Worsham. John Force with the win climbs to 50 back. Tommy Johnson is 62 back. Courtney and Robert Height, 6th and 7th. So I think 100 points out is going to be tough to make up. In pro stock, Jason Line over Greg Anderson in the points. It was a 20-point addition for that because they came in 30 points apart. Line holding it down because he beat Anderson. Had it been the other way, it would have been a 30-point difference, but not the case. Vincent Nobile, 3rd. He's 104 back. Erica Enders drops to 10th. And so she's got a, she can make some ground, but not looking for a three-peat. In pro stock motorcycle, Andrew Hines has a 44-point lead over the guy who beat him yesterday, Chip Ellis, Angel Sampe, 49 back. There's going to be your battle right there, those three. Eddie Krawick is 85 back. He's usually in the top one or two, but I'm looking at Hines, Ellis, and Sampe going for the championship. Angel has the most wins by a woman in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series, so you can't count her out. Of course, she was off a little while, back strong this year, and she's got a chance to take home another championship. So there you have the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series. IndyCar also in action, their final race of the year. I told you, folks, it was jam-packed weekend for auto racing. One season ends, the rest start their two more motorsports entities start their playoffs. And we'll talk about all that. And the GoPro Grand Prix of Sonoma, out at the Sonoma Road Course, where NASCAR runs once a year. Simone Pagenaud started from the pole, was number one in the points, took the checkered flag and the championship. So he did the double win this weekend. Graham Rahal, engaged to Courtney Force, finished second. Third, Juan Pablo Montoya. I've heard rumors where Penske's letting him go, but they just brought him back. He won the Indy 500 last year. How do you let somebody go who has done well for you in a couple of years after coming from NASCAR, where he ran for Chip Ganassi? And he also ran a couple races for Roger Penske. I think he had a car at the Brickyard as well, so he did make some returns to series as well. Ryan Hunter-Reay took the fourth spot. Alexander Rossi finished fifth. Sixth, Joseph Newgarden. Elio Castroneves seventh. Marco Andretti eighth. Charlie Kimball ninth, and Sebastian Bourdais 10th. There was one caution for three laps. Three lap leaders. Pagenaud leading three times for 76. The average speed was 101.18. Race took 2 hours, 12 seconds. Margin of victory, not even close. 3.25 seconds, five lead changes amongst three drivers. I'd give you the top 10. So it's Pagenaud first, locking up the championship. Second, Will Power, had a dismal finish at 20th out of 22. Third place was Elio Castroneves, fourth, Newgarden, fifth, Graham Rahal, sixth, Scotty Dixon, seventh, Tony Kanaan, eighth, Juan Pablo Montoya, and ninth is Charlie Kimball. Rounding out the top 10 in points is Carlos Munoz, who really hasn't done much this year, but had enough points to finish in the top 10. If you want to give us a call, you still can. I'm on for the next 40 minutes. The number is 646-649-4483. 1-800-875-1899. You're listening to Garage Talk Live. I'm your host, Vince. So pick a race that you want to talk about. In the truck series, they start their racing season chase. Kyle Busch took the checkered flag. In the number 18 truck, Daniel Hemric. Looks like a Joe Gibbs thing. The second, Cameron Haley, third, Christopher Bell, fourth, fifth, Johnny Sauter, Grant Enfinger, sixth, seventh, Spencer Gallagher. Eighth, Timothy Peters, ninth, Cole Custer, and rounding out the top 10, Kyle Reddick. 10 cautions for 41 laps, 10 lead changes amongst 5 drivers. Kyle Busch leading 95 of 151 laps, go figure. I think it's more of a test session for him, the way he dominates these other series. Travis Quappel, who drives for Make Motorsports, 30th. Another guest of ours, Jennifer Jo Cobb, driving her number one truck, finished 22nd. Maybe we can get Jennifer back on. Well, she's always done well when she called the show. But then again, so does everybody else. But I can't tell them that because then I jinx them. But if they just, it happens. Anyway, victory under caution. I guess they didn't make, they made the overtime stripe on a restart. Wound up 151 laps out of the 150 that should have been run. Average speed, 108 miles an hour, and it took 2 hours, 5 minutes, and 5 seconds. Think we have our race winner? Yes, we do. With his crew chief, has a few words to say about his win.
If I can have your attention here in the media center, we will now begin our post-race media availability for the 8th annual American Ethanol E15 225 here at Chicagoland Speedway. And we are joined by a race-winning team. We are joined by Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 Sirius XM Toyota. And we are joined by crew chief Wes Ward. Kyle, everybody up on the wheel tonight. There's weather in the area. A lot on the line with the chase drivers. Walk us through the race, and particularly those frequent restarts you had near the end.
Yeah, it was a really good race for our truck. The first run was okay. It was definitely the after the qualifying session on those tires, they just didn't react the way I really expected them to. So once we got those off in the second run, third run, every time we put tires on, truck felt really good, and we were pretty fast out front. Weren't as good as we needed to be maybe in traffic, but guys did a good job on pit road helping us out with that and keeping us up front. I did slice through traffic there on that late restart, but a bunch of those guys in front of us didn't have equal tires, so that was a little swayed maybe. But overall, just felt really good to get back in the trucks and to win here again and have an opportunity to do that with my guys at KBM. It's fun to do. Feels like it's been forever, but can't say enough about Eric Jones and Wes Ward. Those guys did a great job working on my truck for me yesterday when I wasn't able to, so appreciate that. And all the guys at the shop do an amazing job each and every week, month, year. It's fun to have the relationships with those people and the amount of effort that they put in. So that was really good. As far as the last restart there, it was kind of hectic. There was a lot on the line for those guys. I know they were racing for a bunch. I was only worried about us, so I knew that Hemric behind me was probably one of the better guys in the series that I can trust that, I gave him some hand signals and he followed right along and we were able to come home 1-2 that way. So that felt really good and, just keep going. Hopefully the 4 and the 9 now being in the chase will be a good good thing for us, and we can go after a championship with the other teams.
Wes?
And there's your race winner, Kyle Busch. Of course, the car Camping World Series chase is the round of eight. It's William Byron, Matt Crafton, John Hunter Nemechek, Christopher Bell, Johnny Sauter, Ben Kennedy, and Daniel Hemric, who is, and Timothy Peters. They will compete and get whittled down to six. But of course, they're not racing at Dover this time like they were in June. So we'll just have to wait this one out. In the Xfinity Series, it was Eric Jones taking home the checkered flag. He is a rookie in the Xfinity Series driving the 20 car. He's an actual Xfinity Series regular who actually won an Xfinity Series race. Of course, it's a Joe Gibbs car. He got to start through Kyle Busch Motorsports and Kyle's truck, which was Joe Gibbs equipment, of course, and did wind up taking the checkered flag. Kyle Larson, good run for him as well. Of course, he's running the 42 this week. Normally, that's his number in the Sprint Cup Series. Took second spot. Elliott Sadler was third. Daniel Suarez was fourth. Justin Allgaier was fifth. Sixth, Clint Bowyer. Seventh, Joey Logano. Eighth, Brendan Gaughan. Paul Menard, ninth. And Brandon Jones rounds out the top 10. Eric Jones led twice for 10 laps. Your biggest lap leader of the day was driver of the number 18. The one and only king of the Xfinity Series has the most wins on the year, Kyle Busch. Again, I think it was another test session. Average speed, 120 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 0.392, a little under 0.4 of a second, so it was fairly close. 2 hours, 29 minutes, 17 seconds. There were 22 lead changes amongst 11 drivers. Most of it was Kyle Busch, of course. When you lead 154 laps out of 200, the race did end under regulation. There were cautions for 38 laps. And your round of 12 for your chase, Eric Jones, Elliott Sadler, Daniel Suarez, Ty Dillon, Justin Allgaier, Darrell Wallace Jr., Brendan Gaughan, Brennan Poole, Ryan Sieg, Ryan Reed, Brandon Jones, and Blake Koch. Former guest Ars is in the top 12. Of course, Xfinity Series chase as well. Getting ready to kick off. I think they started Loudon as well as the, I wish they had the, I should have saved that, the ladders for the chase for the other two series. So they'll be getting ready to go there. your winner, Eric Jones, had a few words to say after the win. He's your top seed in the series. He's got 4 wins this year. And here's what he had to say, of course.
We can have your attention here in the media center. We will now finish up today's media availability for the 16th annual The Drive for Safety 300 with today's race winner. And that is none other than Eric Jones, driver of the number 20 Hisense Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. This is Eric's 6th Xfinity Series races. It's his 4th win and 16th top 10 finish in 2016. And he enters the inaugural NASCAR Xfinity Series chase as the number 1 seed. Not too bad. How does that feel?
It's good. You know, it's nice just to get a win in general, but especially the week before the chase. You know, you want to get some momentum going anytime you're getting ready to do something like that. And we did a nice job of Richmond getting a 2nd place, and then grabbing a win here is pretty great for us. So we got a decent little points cushion here in the first round of the chase, and I think we got a good shot to grab a win, but we still need to make sure we're focused on points and pointing our way through if we aren't able to get a win. So it should be fun. I'm excited to get to Kentucky and hopefully challenge for another win.
Good deal. We'll open the floor for questions. If you have a question, we'll get a wireless mic to you.
So opens up next week in Kentucky for the Xfinity Series. It should be getting kind of interesting because the last race before the chase usually is pretty hectic in the Cup Series, and now with the Truck Series and Xfinity Series themselves getting into it for the first time this year should make things interesting. Of course, Eric Jones would be happy to go in as the top seed. You get a little bit of a points lead. Matter of fact, the lead he has going in, There's actually a whopping 6 points. So 6 points between first and second, and then 3 after that between the rest of the drivers. But they are bonus points for wins. They all start off the chase even. So from 4th place down to 12th, they all start off with 2,000 points, and they go from there. So 4 points for the win, 6 points for the win, actually. So he got 4 bonus points in. He's got 4 wins. That gives him the 12-point seed lead. Sadler is 2nd with 2 wins, so he's only 6 points back. And I said Daniel Suarez, 3rd with 1 win. He is 9 back. The rest are all 12 back. With the points that close, anything could change now. You figure with a lot of Sprint Cup Series drivers competing, that could throw the wins. Because I know in the Sprint Cup Series, win and you move on, you're in the next round. So the other 2 races in each round would be try things out. And it's up to the rest of the guys to battle for those last 2 wins. But the place you don't want to be is in the bottom, because they will drop 4 drivers. Series. Here's where it gets interesting. Their chase started yesterday. They have a 10-race chase, of course. This format has been in place for a few years now. Some people didn't like it, and some people do like it. I think it makes for a little bit of excitement. It was pretty interesting. The biggest race leader of the day had a rough day towards the end, caught cheating. Well, so did the winner, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Or failed inspection, we won't say caught cheating. who knows what goes on that why they fail inspection. Anyway, when all was said and done, Martin Truex Jr. led twice for 32 laps. He was the winner, but it didn't look like it was going to happen that way. Chase Elliott had the lead going into, with five laps to go, the caution came out and drove just about all your front runners into the pits, except for Ryan Blaney and Casey Kane. They stayed out. But Elliott was trying to hold off Truex for his first win and his first win in the chase, which would have moved him to the round of 8. I mean, the round of 12, because they start off with 16 drivers in the Cup Series. Too many chases now. And when they came out of the pits, Truex beat him, and Elliott had to restart 5th. Truex was 3rd, started outside. That's right, Carl Edwards was the other one that stayed out with Kane and Blaney. So that's it. Truex, he was the first one off pit road. He started 3rd, which was outside. He actually started 4th, which was outside of road, the second row. And Chase Elliott was 5th. He was inside of the 3rd row, which he had a little bit tougher road to hoe. Both had 4 fresh tires. I don't know. I think if I wanted to ensure myself getting off a pit road first, I would have taken 2. They didn't need much gas. It was only maybe, if, like I said, it was 5 laps to go. By the time they came into the pits, there was only, you know, the green-white checker. It did go overtime. It was scheduled a 267-lap race, wound up with 3 extra laps. So they ran 405 miles instead of 400, mile-and-a-half track. Truex runs well on mile-and-a-half tracks as it is. I didn't pick him to win. Kenseth last week, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. When the flag dropped, Truex was able to get around Blaney and Kane, taking the outside. He only had to get past the front 2 cars. Chase Elliott wasn't so lucky. Somehow, Joey Logano was able to sneak up to 2nd. He was able to get around the other 2 cars. He wasn't too far back on the restart either. And the biggest loser was Chase Elliott. But Truex goes on to win. Gets that first chase win. He has a lock in round 2, the round of 12. So he doesn't have to sweat Loudon or Dover next week. He won't be eliminated. Joey Logano, like I said, finished 2nd. Chase Elliott had to settle for 3rd. The gamble by Ryan Blaney, I guess, helped. He was 4th. Brad Keselowski, 5th. Denny Hamlin was 6th. 7th, Casey Kane. Like I said, both Kane and Blaney were on older tires. 8th, Kyle Busch was your pole sitter. Matt Kenseth wound up 9th, my pick. And Alex Bowman, driving for Dale Jr., had a decent run. He is 10th. And other chasers, Jamie McMurray, Jimmy Johnson, Kurt Busch, Austin Dillon, Carl Edwards, all in the top 15. There were 17 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. 4 caution flags for 22 laps, the last one coming on lap 264. The 95 car of Michael McDowell blew a tire and set the stage for Martin Truex's run. And as was Chase goes, it might be his year. I don't know. I'd like to see old Marty do that. Anyway, as we look right now, 1 win in the chase. Martin Truex has the lead over Brad Keselowski by a point. Points matter, but it don't matter. Here's where points matter. Positions 2 through 16 right now. Because you have to at least stay in the top 12. That's the Mendoza line, the cutoff line. Anybody below that will be eliminated after Dover in a couple of weeks. So Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, this is in order. There's a 1 point separation between Keselowski and Truex. Keselowski did lead a lap, but after that, it's Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Matt Kenseth, Jimmy Johnson, Carl Edwards, Kurt Busch, Jamie McMurray, Tony Stewart, Austin Dillon, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Larson, and Chris Buescher, who expected who made the chase with a rainout win at Pocono. But here's where the cutoff is. Tony Stewart is the last guy. He's on the bubble right now. If he don't get a win, he will be the last guy to make it to round two. Here's the guys in danger. Austin Dillon, Kevin Harvick, who surprisingly finished 14th, Kyle Larson 15th, and Chris Buescher 16th. But you can't count Harvick out. He can come back and pull a win somewhere. He did have some issues yesterday, wound up with a 20th place finish, one lap down. So we'll just have to see what happens there. Going into Loudon, we have a pretty interesting. We'll get to our preview of that, and I'll make my pick in a few minutes. But we should have your winner, Martin Truex Jr. After the race, I'm sure he was happy. They were showing the in-car with him, and you would be too after coming back to win and taking round one. Here's Marty.
All right. We are now joined by the winner of today's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 400, Martin Truex Jr., who also now advances to the round of 12 in the chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup. Martin, why don't you just talk about that right there, advancing to the next round.
Well, we did what we came here to do, so that always feels good when you accomplish your goals. And you know, we had a good weekend here with our Furniture Row Toyota. You know, worked really hard on our car throughout practice on race runs and tried some new stuff this weekend, and really felt like throughout the weekend we were getting the car feeling really good for race trim. So it was a good weekend for us. You know, really today was a great day for us on the racetrack. It, you know, we had to overcome some adversity, obviously, and you know, that was tough, but really proud of our team for everybody sticking together, everybody keeping their heads down and never quit until it was over. And you know, today was obviously a big win for us, but just excited for everybody. I mean, it's this is what we came here to do, and it was cool to be able to put it out there and make it happen.
All right, we'll now open up to questions for Martin. Please raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. We'll start with Jeff Jordan up here in the front.
Crazy.
Jeff Clark.
There you have Martin Truex Jr. with a little brief statement about that. We also have his crew chief, Cole Pern, a guy who's relied on him, and they seem to get some sort of mojo going this year. It was Truex's third win of the season, his second on a mile and a half. Of course, the other one a mile and a third at Darlington, so with Chicagoland, it didn't hurt. He didn't actually dominate the race this week, but he led at the right time. And that's the thing. So here's race-winning crew chief Cole Pern.
We will continue on with today's post-race media availability for the 16th annual Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 400. And we're joined by the winning crew chief of today's race, Colburn, number 78, Furniture Row, Denver Mattress Toyota for Furniture Row Racing. The third victory and 13th top 10 finish in 2016 for the 78. Cole, this team had to overcome some adversity today. Can you walk us through that adversity and how you did overcome that?
Yeah, that was kind of wild. Didn't really expect that to happen. We had the inside of the right front unravel there right when we were running the 48 back down for the lead. And, you know, we were just really fortunate. We had a really good car. I mean, we were able to get back through and get the lucky dog, which is huge. And then, you know, got back on the lead lap. And then, we had that deal with the four there. I still don't know what that was about. And had some left rear damage that slowed us up for a bit. And then once we got that back, you know, the speed kind of came back. And, we just kept plugging away. I mean, I feel bad for the 24. I don't think there's any way we were going to get them. But, you know, we've been on the other side of that a lot. And, you know, just credit to the pit crew for getting us off to a road first there. And Martin did a hell of a job in the restart.
There's Cole Pern. Now we're coming down this coming week. It'll be the Bad Boy Off-Road 300 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway in Loudoun. That'll kick off the green at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. You could watch it on NBC Sportsnet, listen to it on PRN, not MRN, which will be, or Sirius XM Radio, if you have satellite. At least with Sirius XM, it's the same channel anywhere you go in the country. I love mine. I don't have to go channel search hunting for anything different, and we'll just have it at that. We have one more. Audio thing is the actual car owner, Barney Visser. Let's see what he had to say about getting a win in the chase.
We're going to continue on with our race winners press conference here for the 16th annual Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 400. And we're joined by team owner Barney Visser of the number 78 Furniture Row, Denver Mattress Toyota. Barney, glad you can join us for one of these. That's good to have you here. Was there any doubt that you were going to attend today's race? Or?
Well, there was some doubt when I attended that we would win, but other than that,
good deal. We're going to open the floor for questions. If you have a question for Mr. Visser, please raise your hand. We will get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start here in the middle with Bob.
Bob Packer, ESPN. You've been through some of these where you haven't won and you kind of get your way through on points. How nice is it to have a win and kind of know you have a couple weeks to breathe easy?
There you have Bob Packer, longtime journalist, trying to pop a question. Didn't mean to cut you off, Bob, but maybe I get him on. I haven't used have a broadcaster or journalist on that. I haven't had that this year. This year has been a little different for me as far as the show, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, going into Loudoun at the New Hampshire Motor Speedway, we had two races of the year. The last one was won by Matt Kenseth. It was only about a month and a half ago. Take that back. 2 months ago, July 17th, actually. The big winner there was Kyle Busch. He didn't win, but he ran. He led the most laps. Second one was Martin Truex Jr. He finished 16th. Must have got. What happens is when that's the case, you make a bad move on a pit stop. Somebody gets out ahead of you. Kansas did wind up winning. So I'm looking at Gibbs cars in your best runners at Loudoun. Then you have Stuart Haas up there with Tony Stewart and Kevin Harvick in the top five. And, of course, Denny Hamlin was in the top 10. And the only one not in the top 10 was Kyle Busch, and actually he finished eighth. And the only one I didn't see in the top 10 here is Carl Edwards. He was in the 20th. Finished on the lead lap, but was nondescript in there. So it's kind of hard to figure out who I'm thinking is going to win this one. I want to say a Gibbs car, but I've been off on Gibbs cars, so I'm not going to try to pick that. Keselowski, the other Penske Ford, was 15th. He led a lap, but nothing major there. So if you're looking at a 301-lap race, I'm looking at three dominant cars, Kenseth, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr. Do I think Truex could win two in a row? Yeah. Do I think he will win two in a row? No. So the only thing I could think of is where to go from there. How about you give me a call if you want? 646-649-1899. You'll get me directly. I will answer the phone. Not my producer, because anyway, who do I want to pick? Not sure. I'm still leaning toward a Gibbs car. I know I went with Kenseth last week on last week's show. Matter of fact, I could pull that page up. And there it is, Matt Kenseth. Being he won, maybe I'm a week off with these guys. But anyway, I think I'm going to go this time with somebody who's dominated the race, finished in the top 10. I don't know if I picked him in a while. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch this week. So if you have a disagreement, I will post it on my Facebook page. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and we'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing.
Yeah.